All right, we've always had that tagline, hey, we're going to beat the Methodists to lunch and all that stuff. What I recently found out is none of y'all go to lunch. Y'all go to Costco. And you laughing because you know it. I went to Costco after services this past week, and almost every single one of you were there. I assume that's how you're doing lunch with the free samples. The pizza for hot dog for $1.50, but whatever it is, I appreciate you saying hi at Costco. But here we go. We're going to get rolling. We've been talking about prayers, and we've been looking at different prayers in Scripture and taking them as our own and praying them back to God. And I've used the illustration just like none of y'all wrote those songs we sang this morning. We sing them, we personalize them, and we take them back to the Lord. And we've looked at faithfulness, we've looked at restoration, we've looked at forgiveness, and today we're going to look at one that I think is a little bit more fun, one that I like to pray a little bit more often. But before we do, I want to give you a couple quotes that I've kept with me over the years about prayer to help us understand a little bit more about prayer. The first two are from Charles Haddon Spurgeon. He's been gone a long time, but he had a couple good quotes. First one is, prayer can never be in excess. You can never have too much prayer. Have you ever heard someone say, I'm going to pray for you, and our response is like, no, I'm good. I got enough people praying for me. No. We covet the prayers. We'll take as many prayers as we can. Another one that he said was, true prayer is measured by weight, not by length. A single groan before God may have more fullness of prayer than a fine oration of great length. Just saying, hey, so the prayers don't have to be long and scheduled and planned out. Just a quick little help me, Lord, or a quick groan can mean just as much. We move into E.M. Bounds, who wrote about 1,000 books on prayer, and I got three quotes from him. Prayer is not learned in a classroom, but in the closet. We can teach you about prayer from a stage, but you're really going to learn about prayer when you're at home, when you've had something happen in your life and you're crying out to the Lord. The Word of God is food by which prayer is nourished and made strong. We want you to pray, but there's a right way to pray. And we look to Scripture to see prayers that have been prayed before that God thought were so influential that he should write them down and inspire men to write them down that 2,500 years later, we can still look at them like we are today. Another one that he says is, talking to men for God is a great thing, but talking to God for men is greater still. Oswald Chambers, we talk about the utmost for his highest. That's the devotional that I always encourage you to get in. It says, prayer does not fit us for greater work. Prayer is the greater work. And then one last theologian from the 80s, he tells us that we have to pray just to make it today. And that was M.C. Hammer. None of us would ever say our prayer life is what it should be. It could always be better. Whoever I've talked to, the most holy person I know, they would say that their prayer life could be better, that distractions come our way. And sometimes if we've been believers for a long time, our prayers can become somewhat of a ritual, somewhat of the same thing. If you were to ask me to pray for lunch today and I wasn't prepared for it, I would probably say a prayer that I've prayed 1,000 times before. And it just becomes the same thing. It's almost like, hey, break a leg, I'm praying for you. And what I've learned is rather than saying I'm praying for you, it's, hey, come here, let me pray for you just for 10 seconds, but let me pray for you. Let me spend that time right now praying for you. Because if I don't, at my age, I'll forget. If Satan can stop us from praying, he wins the battle. Think about that. If he can stop us from praying, that is the real power, that is the fuel, that is the energy that goes behind everything we do as believers, everything we do as a church. And if he can stop us from praying, then he's won the battle. And I get confused. If we know that's the source of our strength, if we know that's the source of how we win the battle, why do we choose not to pray all the time? And I've come up with another list of why I think we don't believe prayer works. First, we don't believe that God cares about us sometime. There's 8 billion people in the world. How could God specifically care about me? What if there's a million people praying at the same time? How can God hear me? I can't even focus when the TV's on and my wife's talking. How can God hear 1 million people talking at the same time? Well, that's great. We're God. He's God. We're not. We don't have to understand that. In 1 Peter 5:7, he tells us to cast all our cares upon him because he cares for us. He cares. He wants to hear. He knows, but he still wants us to bring those requests to him. A lot of times, newer Christians, they think they have to get their life fixed up before they come to the Lord. And when we try to fix it up on our own and not allow God to come in our lives and fix it, then we're just going to find ourselves in another mess. Psalm 147:3 tells us that God heals the brokenhearted. We don't have to get anything fixed. We come to God and allow him to fix from the inside out. A lot of times we don't believe God can help. Ephesians 3:20, God can do exceedingly more than we think or ask. And when I think about that, you know, sometimes God's busy, God's got other things going on, and then I turn the TV on and I like to watch weird programs, so I'll watch a history program or a nature program, and it'll talk about these little animals in the dark depths of the ocean that no one will ever see, and God has created them in such a way that they can live in super cold water, and they don't need eyes to see what's going on, but they can feel. And I think, man, if God has created something like that, if God cares for something that small, think about how much he cares for something created in his own image. Man, God loves us and God cares more than we will ever realize. Another thing, sometimes we think we don't deserve a relationship with God. God knows all about us. And if you've learned anything through Scripture, you know that some of the people in Scripture are the dirtiest, worst people you've ever seen. It talks about all the main characters in Scripture. If you take them, I forgot there's 50 or 60 main characters. The one we're talking about today is not a main character, but all the main characters, 70% of them did not finish strong for the Lord. Only 30% of them did. 70% had problems and turned their back from God or had a great moment in their life where they stopped following God. And if we look to Scripture, we see that he loves and cares for those people. He's going to care for us as well. And I think finally we get to the last one is, you know, I don't know how to pray. Well, if you're here today, we're going to teach you a prayer that I think is one of the best that you'll ever see. And I think those of you that are praying, God answers prayers. Those of you that are praying for a baby that you've wanted for years and years and years, but you haven't been able to have, keep praying. For that family who's struggling to just try to hang on to make it to the end of the month or the relationship with the spouse isn't great, keep praying. It's always too early to stop praying. Amen? Keep praying. Well, here we go. We're looking at a prayer of blessing. A lot of times we think that I need to pray and ask for forgiveness, and absolutely we should. I need to pray and ask for other people to be healed, and absolutely we should. We need to pray and ask God to bless the church, and I believe we absolutely should. But today we're going to look at a prayer of blessing of how we should pray for God's blessing on our life. And that includes spiritual blessing, but I also believe it includes material blessing. And when I was coming out of college, getting ready to start seminary, you know my story. My wife and I got married really young, and we got pregnant very young. And that made me drop out of seminary and had to get a real job. The closest to a real job I got was in the church, and it's been good to me for 20-some years. So here I am working in the church. But I remember early on, when I was young and not very smart, you just pray for stuff and God will give it to you, right? If you just need something, you pray and God will give it to you. I think that's why Scripture tells us sometimes we need to have faith like children. As we get older, we're like, well, that's not going to happen. God can't do that. But I was still in that young age where I believe God can do anything. And we had just got married. A year later, I had a kid. And we're heading back home. And all of a sudden, we have one car, but we need a second car. And if you're here today, the advice I might give you is we'll get a side hustle. Start working Uber Eats. Start delivering. Start mowing lawns. Whatever it takes to make a little bit more money for you to afford a car. But back then, I just thought I'd pray about it. And I got my wife together, and we prayed about it. We said, God, give us a car. but you know we can't afford food. We're on WIC, Women with Infant Children, so they gave us free food, free cheese, free cereal. Free food always tastes better than paid food. I don't know what it was, but like it just tasted so much better. I felt like I was super rich having four boxes of cereal backed up in my pantry there. But whatever. And so we prayed about it, and after about a week, nothing happened. And so we kept praying. I said, God, you know we need this car. There's two of us. I'm going to work. She's with child. She's got to take him places. Just help us. We need another car. And after 2 weeks, after 3 weeks, nothing happened. But the fourth week, God answered both of our prayers. And within a month, God did not give us one car. He gave us two cars to choose from. Now listen, none of these, as I tell you, were a triple black Mustang convertible, brand new. It was a 1989 GMC Jimny on its last leg and a hatchback 1990 Escort with no brakes, right? So we got to choose between the two, and it reminds me that God gives us what we need, not what we want. And that car made it a few years, put a little bit of money into it to get it going, but God answers prayers. And I think it was at that moment he reminded me that I'm going to answer your prayers, not all the time, but I'm going to answer your prayers. And I'm going to ask you to ask me for things. I'm not just going to give you things, but I'm going to ask you to see how faithful I am in some of these things. And so the prayer we're looking at today is a prayer of blessing by a character named Jabez, found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. 1 Chronicles, the first 9 chapters are like Father Abraham and all the genealogies. Father Abraham had many sons had Father Abraham. Well, they're all listed in these first 9 chapters. And it goes through chapter 4, and the first part of chapter 4 is listing Judah. The second part is Simeon. And all of a sudden, it gets to these two verses, and it just talks about this one person. And it reminds me of places other in Scripture, like Genesis chapter 32, where it says Jacob was wrestling with God. And whether it was God himself or an angel of God, Jacob is wrestling with him through the night. And it says that Jacob says, I will not let go with you until you bless me. And it says God blessed him. Took his hip and put it out of socket, but God blessed him. And we see this blessing that happens here, starting off in verse number 9. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother named him Jabez and said, I gave birth to him in pain. Okay, we see kind of two distinct things in the opposite way in this first verse. First of all, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. It doesn't say that Jabez was honorable. It says he was more honorable than his brothers. Maybe his brothers were absolute jerks and just horrible people, and Jabez was better than that. I'm guessing that's not the case. We don't know much about him, but we see that he was more honorable than his brothers. And then we also see that his mother called him Jabez, which literally means sorrowful, sorrowful, born in pain. Think about that. Can you imagine if you met someone by the name of like sorrow, by the name of hurt or strain or pain? You would think to them like, man, there is something distinct about this person. I could see like if a mother gave him like as that middle name, like that no one really hears, just to be reminded of the pain that they went through. But that was the first name given to this individual. And if you think about it, like the pain of childbirth was there. It wasn't meant to be as painful as it is. Ladies, you have Adam and Eve to blame for that. There was supposed to be some pain in childbirth. But childbirth was supposed to be a little bit of pain, and because of sin of Adam, the punishment that was given out, it says there will be exceeding pain in childbirth. Some of you ladies know what I'm talking about. Yeah, I've never given birth to a child. I don't plan on it, and so I don't want to experience that pain. And whether you've had that pain for several hours, or maybe like Jabez's mom, I'm guessing it was for several days, and she was just in this horrible pain, and it's something she wanted to be reminded of, so she named him Jabez. But I can imagine, like, at that moment, all that pain, ladies that have had babies, when they set the baby on your chest, all that pain goes away. I guess, I can't say for sure, But in the Hallmark movies I've seen, that's what happens. And it's all worth it. That 9 months of being uncomfortable is all worth it to see that baby. I just saw a picture of a baby on my way out here from a stage. Bill's a grandpa, and just to say how excited he was to see his grandbaby. And it's just that excitement. And I could see, like, if you had to name the baby right then and there, like, okay, like, maybe you're like, this was so painful, I'm going to call him Pain. But what we know is you didn't name the baby until after it was circumcised, boy. A boy wouldn't be circumcised until the 8th day. So mom held on to this grudge for 8 days, saying it was so much pain, or maybe I don't love you as much as your siblings or whatever, but you will be known for the pain that you have caused. And the problem is, in that culture, the name was a very powerful thing. And so the name would represent or probably give you a prediction of what your life would be like. And so mom was not setting this individual up for success. Mom was setting this individual up for doom, for problems, for difficulties in his life. That there would be negative consequences based upon something that he had nothing to do with. And we see that he made something pretty good out of his life because he was more honorable. If we're all to be honest, we've all come short of the glory of God, whether it's stealing a pack of gum or doing something we shouldn't have done at a young age, but we haven't allowed that to define who we are. And so I think with Jabez, he did not allow his past to define his future. He said, even though I caused my mother pain, I will not be known as pain. I will be more honorable. I will have different values than my siblings. I will be a better person, a better person in the community than my brothers. And then we can use our past problems to help others in their past problems. I hopefully Jabez did the same kind of thing, that we've had this past, but we put it behind us and we focus on our future. And that's what we see happens in here. And now we get to the good part in chapter 4, verse 10, where he asks for this blessing. And guys, I think sometimes we miss this part. We know that God wants to bless. We know that God can bless. But we never make it to the step where we say, God, will you bless? We think, man, wouldn't it be really cool if I had this? Wouldn't it be really cool if God stepped in and did this for me, rather than taking it to God and asking him for it? I lived and grew up in the suburbs of Detroit. And if you can think anything about the Detroit school system and the suburbs of it, it's not a school system you want to be in. And I remember when our first child was born, before we came here, my wife started praying for our baby that he would get to go to a Christian school. For if you know anything about my family, you know my wife's the one with the faith. I'm just the one stupid enough to get in front of people and talk about it. And so she started praying. I thought, you are absolutely crazy. We are on WIC. We can't afford cheese. We can't afford cereal. Why would you be praying for a Christian school? And I think it's those moments where she prayed and she asked for a blessing. Fast forward 5 or 6 years, months before our oldest was to begin kindergarten, I get a phone call from the IRS saying they want to audit me. And then it goes, oh, I'm just kidding. It's Pastor Frank from Ohio. I want to. It's those blessings. And I believe that doesn't happen without Amy taking that to the Lord and asking for that blessing upon our life. For me, man, I hope it'd be great. I hope they get to go to Christian school. They're not, because it's just not going to work out. You can pray all you want. It's just not going to work. Right? Instead of us coming to God with simple faith and say, God, I really want this. I want this blessing upon my life. And we're going to look at this blessing, and like I said, it's not a formula that we take, but maybe it is. Maybe it's an illustration. Maybe it's a prayer that we take, and we pray back on our family members, on ourselves, to God. Very simply, verse number 10. Jabez has called out to the God of Israel, if only you would bless me, extend my border, let your hand be with me, and keep me from harm, so that I will not experience pain, And then God granted his request. That's simple. Hey, God, will you do these four things for me? Sure. All right, back to all the genealogies. Jabez just gets these two little verses. And we don't hear anything else about him. But the prayer of Jabez is a powerful prayer that we can take and pray. Does God want to bless us? Absolutely. I 100% believe that God wants to bless you. I am not a name it and claim it kind of person. I believe there are strings attached to God's blessing. There are parameters that we have to stay in within God's blessing. A couple of those verses I'm reminded of is Matthew 6:33. It says, seek first the kingdom of God, and then you will receive, these things will be provided for you. It doesn't say, ask me and I will provide. It says, seek first the kingdom of God and I will provide. Right? String attached. Psalm 37, verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. It doesn't say, hey, pray to God, and he will give you the desires of your heart. He says, delight yourself in God. Want the things of God. Seek the things of God, and then he will give you the things of your heart. There's strings attached with it. So when we're talking about this prayer of blessing, don't go home and ask for a brand new boat. Unless you're going to use it for a brand new ministry of Genoa Baptist Church. There's always going to be strings attached. We have not because we ask now, but we have to ask in the right form and fashion. Let me also say to you that I believe if you're here today, you're probably more blessed than you realize. If you didn't struggle for food this morning, you're more blessed than you realize. If your hardest choice last night was to what should we thaw out from the freezer? You're more blessed than you realize. If you woke up today and didn't know which car to take, your car, your spouse's car, your kid's car, you're more blessed than you think. But I think sometimes we don't feel the blessings because we don't create the margin that we should have in our lives. And Dave Ramsey can tell you all about that in our Financial Peace University class. Then maybe we shouldn't have bought the bigger house than we should have. That we have this blessing, but we bought more house than we can afford. Therefore, there's more margin. There's no margin in our life, and we're not able to really experience God's blessing. Or maybe you're completely blessed, but you know what? Your brother or your sister or your neighbor has the new toys that you don't have, and you don't feel blessed. Well, chances are they have the payments that you don't have, and so you truly are blessed. Maybe you don't feel blessed because you bought the brand new car rather than buying the car that was 2 or 3 years old. And maybe the blessings that you have from God, you're setting yourself up for failure rather than seeing those blessings of God in our lives. Because you know what blessing really means in our lives? Blessing means just a little bit more, right? And then when we get that little bit more, we feel good, but we want to be blessed and we want just a little bit more. And then a little bit more. I think God's already saying to us, you know what, you're doing pretty good. Life is pretty good. That maybe you are blessed and we just don't realize it. And if you're here today or listening, chances are you are fairly blessed. Not everyone, but I would say the majority of us in here are pretty blessed. You know, there's an old story that talks about that an old man went to be with the Lord, and as he's going up there, the angel's showing him around heaven, and he says, listen, here's the streets of gold, here's the pearly gates, here's your mansion. It's not as close as Pastor Wayne's mansion, but at least you're close enough where you can see the throne, and here's the throne room of God, and here's the banquet table that we're all going to feast at, and here's all the different great things about heaven. And they pass by this room, and this room is just filled with all kinds of things that your heart could just imagine. All kinds of money and gold and all kinds of things in this huge storehouse. But the tour guide passes right by it. And the individual asks, well, hold on, what was this room over here that you didn't show me? And the angel says, oh, those were the things that God wanted to give his people, but they never asked for it. I don't know if that's true. It's not in Scripture. But I'm not going to get to heaven and wonder if there really was. I'm going to ask for those things. I'm going to seek those blessings on my life. I'm going to ask those things. And he talks about the first thing is that God would bless us. Guys, there's nothing wrong with asking God to bless you. I would encourage you right now, in a moment, just ask God to bless you. Ask God to bless your family. ask God for these blessings on our lives. The second thing this morning is ask God to extend your border or your influence. That God would give you, he was asking for more territory, more things, but I think it can also mean extending our area of influence. Ask for this blessing upon your life, that God would bless you and that he would extend your territory. Whether that territory be a bigger house, more things, ultimately to be used back for the glory of God. I hate to use personal stories, but as they keep popping in my mind, I'm reminded of the house that we bought. That we bought that was like $30,000, $40,000 under market value that no one wanted because the backyard was so messed up. And my wife said, hey, we're going to buy this house specifically for the back room because I can see us doing Bible studies and small groups in this back room. And we didn't say, give us this house under market value because we can make money off it. We said, give us this property so we can entertain and minister to people. And it's been a blessing. God blessed us and gave us a house that we couldn't afford, but at a price we could. And we talk about the things of that, but also the influence. Pray that God would expand your area of influence. All these younger people want God to expand their area of influence, to be an influencer. So you watch my TikToks or watch my Instagrams or whatever social media there is. But I'm reminded we don't have to ask God for permission for this. We don't have to ask people for permission. We can just go ahead and start telling the good news of Jesus Christ. I'm reminded of an old lady in my church that I grew up in, 92 years old. When you're 92 years old in the church, you're probably not serving in kids ministry anymore. You're probably not helping with vacation Bible school anymore. So your areas of influence become very limited. But what she decided to do, her name was Ruth, she was going to write a 3-4 page letter encouraging people going into the ministry every single week. And she wrote this letter, and she knew, 92 years, probably 80 of them being a Christian, she knew the Word of God. And she didn't go to a pastor and say, hey, I want to start this ministry. She didn't go to a publisher and say, hey, I want to publish this type of stuff. She just said, you know what, God, you've laid it on my heart to start writing these letters to people. That's what I'm going to do. And while I was in college, I was learning about God's Word, but she was giving me such a practical side of ministry, of her experience, of how God has healed and God has stepped in, and even in the loss of her husband, how God has worked in her life. And those were some of the most powerful letters I had ever received. And it was from an unlikely candidate, but God expanded her territory. God expanded her influence because she was taking what she had learned and sent it to other people. That God would bless us, that God would extend our border, and that your hand might be with me. Point number three, that your hand might be with me. Something we should all be praying, because what's the alternative? That God's hand is against us? None of us would really want that. But have you ever seen someone whose God's hand was upon? You can't explain it, but whatever they do, it just seems to work. They just seem to be blessed. Man, I pray that, God, please have your hand upon me. God, please be with me. I pray for this thing called unction. I say, God, please don't send me out on that stage with all those people looking at me without speaking through me. God, don't let me go out there by myself. God, give me that unction. And that unction really is an anointing of the Holy Spirit upon my speech. Because guess what? I can make you guys laugh. Okay, I can give like a sympathy laugh out of you. Like, okay, there it is. That's what I'm talking about. I can get that sympathy laugh. I can't speak to your heart. If you ever come up to me after service, say, you know, you spoke to my heart. That wasn't me. I'm not that smart. But the power of the Holy Spirit upon someone's speech through unction can make a difference in someone else's heart. And that's the prayer I have. That's the prayer that we should have, that his hand be upon us, whether it's in our business dealings, our family dealings, or here at church, that God's hand would be upon us. Guys, you can't look at this sanctuary you're sitting in and understand that God hasn't, you can't say God hasn't been with Genoa Baptist Church. You look back at the original sanctuary in what we call the old chapel, a building that they said we built way too big because no one would ever come. God's hand is upon this. God's hand is upon Pastor Frank. Pastor Frank has the unique ability to say something like, you are an awful person, and you are horrible, and I hate you, and you will laugh, and you will open up your pocketbook and give money, and you will tell all your friends how great he is. God's hand is upon him. God speaks through him. There's unction upon his life. And I would pray that you would ask for that as well. I believe prayer becomes that spiritual energy that we need. But on the other hand, we talk about how God's hand is upon us. And I think we can see the positives of how God's hand is upon us, of how somehow you got that promotion that maybe you didn't know how you were going to get. Or maybe a financial deal worked out for you, or something just happened in your life. We see the positives of how God works in our lives, but I'll tell you what, we don't see the negatives we're kept away from until, as one pastor says, we check the tape when we get into heaven. I fully believe when I check the tape and I get into heaven, there's going to be moments, or there's going to be situations where something small happened that kept me from something horrible. Next time your toddler takes your keys and you're 5 minutes late for work, maybe that was a blessing from God keeping you off the road. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Maybe it's a blessing from God because you don't know what distracted driver would have been there and caused a problem. Sometimes when you're deciding between cars and you don't know, should I get this one, should I get this one, and you choose this one and you never hear another thing about this one, but maybe that one's a junker that you never should have got. It's a junker that you didn't get and you didn't have to pour money into. You didn't have to put a new transmission in. You got this one. We got to check the tape when we get in heaven to see the things that God has kept us from. And finally, point number four, that which you would keep me from harm. Keep us from harm. John 16:33 tells us that we're going to have problems, we're going to have tribulation, but we can ask that God would keep us from harm. We do this anytime we send our kids off to camp. I would encourage you, anytime you're going on a trip, God, protect us. God, keep us safe. God, keep us from harm, because there is the evil of sin that we can find ourselves causing problems on ourselves because of the evils of sin. And I don't think we can ask for God's blessing upon our lives and God to expand our area of influence if we are involved in deep sin. But it's a two-way street that if we want to stay away from harm, we have to run from sin. That's the first part, but I think there's this other part that's the evil of trouble. That bad things are just going to happen. Whether it's a diagnosis or someone accidentally runs into you, whatever it is, there's going to be things that cause us harm that aren't sinful. And I think in our lives, we can pray and ask for that. God, please keep me from that harm. God, I love you. I'm serving you. Please keep me from that harm. We know some harm is going to get in. We're promised that. But God, keep me from that harm. Keep your hand with me. And it was that simple. It's another one of those prayers that we see that when Hezekiah prayed last week and we looked at it, and he says, you're going to die. You're surely going to die. And he says, he just calls out to God. And even before Isaiah left the room, the prayer was answered. Same kind of thing. Jabez says, God, be with me. Really prays one verse, and after that verse is over, God's like, okay, I grant your requests. And it's that simple. As we pray for a blessing, it's not a guarantee that God will bless us, but it's a prayer we pray anyway. Do I believe that if you put $20 in the offering plate that God's going to bless you and give you $100 later? Probably not. He could, but that's not a guarantee that I'm gonna put upon you. But it's something we think about and even talk about some 2,500 years later.